It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Back to Money Matters. We're not back to, but back to this week's edition. What a massive day in the world that we live in today. Sunday, it's Falcons playoff. They win today. They're headed to the Super Bowl. We've got the inauguration that was Friday, which was fascinating, and then all the coverage that you're going to continue to hear about how many people showed up and how many didn't people showed up and how far less people attended. And by the way, the pouring rain versus 8 years ago for Barack Obama. So the media really has anything to grab onto that is still just this divided context that we continue to hear about, that I know that for many of us is very frustrating still. And it would be nice to get back to, let's just move our country forward. And I want to talk about that today and how all this really impacts our wallets and our 401ks. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to answer two questions today here on this Falcons playoff Sunday. What do we know about Trump that will impact our money? What do we already know? And how will this very new regime impact your wallet and your 401k? And there are six items today that we know about Trump, or at least I think I know about what's going to happen and then how that comes back to and impacts all the things that we're trying to save for and invest for. Number two, do stocks still make sense? How many calls did I get this week? And a lot of it has to do with the new political change. Whether you're a fan of Trump or not, you still realize that we're going into uncharted water. We're going into new territory, a new governmental system, arguably the most and different government change we've seen in our lifetimes. And it's arguably a little bit unnerving to understand what this is going to do to the economy and then the market. So that's what we're trying to figure out here on this Sunday morning. Of course, we'll take your calls and questions. 404-872-0750. This is the number here in the studio. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. But as the market hovers right around this 20,000 number for the Dow, we're at 19,827 today. S&P 500 is 2271. We are very, very close to hitting what seems a little bit right now like a ceiling. We can't get quite back above where we ended last year, or well, we're ever so slightly ahead of where we are last year, but still not quite back to the all-time highs. And the question is, where do we go from here? Can you still buy stocks? Hey, Wes, the market's still at a high. We've got brand new uncertainty for the next 4 years coming to fruition. Does that mean it's a tough time to buy stocks? They're already at a, quote, high. Is that really a smart thing to do? Is it really smart to own or buy stocks from here? Or should you be looking somewhere else? Do you want to just own bonds for safety? Do you want to just sit in cash? Hey, maybe we just sit in cash or the money market. Real estate. Do I just stick in real estate or stay in real estate? Commodities. Do we just own commodities? Gold or oil? So there's a lot to choose from, arguably. But we have to understand the markets that we're faced with. We've, for the last several months, talked about the big, long, I call them secular. That just means it's a fancy word for long-term trends between stocks and bonds and commodities, really the three big markets that we can track, or we have been able to track for over 100 years. They run in very long cycles. So to some extent, we have an understanding of where we are in each one of these three cycles. And we can use that history as a guide. I did a show a couple of weeks ago called Head West. It has to do with the explorers and their picking of a direction to find the new world. It relates back to where we are in markets. So if you missed that show, you can go to my website, wesmoss.com, under the radio tab, and or onto iTunes. You can just subscribe to Wes Moss Money Matters on iTunes and look for Head West to talk more or hear more about those big, long, secular trends. But today, we have to take care of business with what's at hand. And that has to do with politics and how that folds into what happens with our money. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. So I want to get to this this question mark about Trump and really what it means for all of us. Let's start with the speech, by the way. Of course, Friday was the inauguration, and it was, I thought it was a well-done speech. And I know that there's a lot of criticism already about it, but I tweeted several of my favorite lines, and I want to get through those. By the way, and my boys don't know this, and I'm going to switch back to football for just a second because it is playoff Sunday. It's fascinating to me how much spread or money, or let's call it a little mini pot of gold or a giant pot of gold, these playoff games are. And again, it's been a while since the Falcons have made it to where we've made it. But I just got a text from my wife listening, so this is perfect timing. So I said to, first of all, when it comes to these tickets, remember, let's say a face value of a ticket right now, for what I can find, is about $125 to go to the Falcons game. But they're selling online, whether you go to Ticketmaster or Vivid or any of these big ticket brokers, StubHub, they're going to upcharge you about $300 per ticket, from what I can find. And by the way, Georgia Dome holds 74,228. So let's call it 75,000 tickets. And most of them, from what I could tell, are pretty much for sale, if someone's willing to pay. What seemed to me, as I scrolled through the stadium graphic online, about $300 upcharge to buy a ticket. So now we're talking about tickets are $425. The very upper section was even in the $350. So let's call it $425. We've got 75,000 tickets at an upcharge of $300. That's $22,500,000 in, Wall Street would call that a spread. I'm calling it just a big pot of gold for playoffs. And then, as I'm buying tickets, and my kids are listening today, by the way, so Ben and Luke, yes, we are going to the Falcons game today. And you hear nothing because they're not here in the studio. They're home, and hopefully they're listening. At least the text from my wife says we are listening. Guys, we're going to the Falcons game today. Ben, you've got to do your homework this morning before I get back from radio in order to be able to go to the game today. But as we talk about the economics, so this is exciting for them, I'm sure. And I'm excited. But the ticket spread, let's call it 30. So you've got 22 million in spread and then another processing fee of over $100 per ticket. That's another $7.5 million. So that's $30 million worth of playoff ticket gold for just this one day. And all the big ticket brokers, or most of the ticket brokers, are going to just get some portion of that. Sure, not everyone's going to sell their ticket that they already own. So I estimate between $15 and $30 million will be made from this one day in tickets, which is a big number as you look at it. By the way, I said, Luke, you might want to listen to the radio today because I'm going to be talking about the Falcons game. You might want to listen to the show today. And he said, Dad, what radio station? Can you believe that? I said, whoa, 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 whoa. What radio station? He comes in here like every week. I said, what do you mean, what radio station? You know what? He said, oh, WSB. Yeah, oh, WSB. He said, what are the numbers for it again? I've been doing this for almost a decade. Now, he's not been alive a full decade, so I'm not going to give him slack on that. Dancing and celebrating the boys at the house. That's good news. All right, let's go back to the world at hand. Here's what I saw from this speech. Here's what I saw from this Donald Trump inauguration speech. And here are some of the tweets. And by the way, this is another sports-related incident, which is fascinating to me. NBA 2K16, which is the one PS4 video game that my kids play, you can customize what your team looks like. So I went downstairs, and I'm watching the boys play this game. And the team that Ben has set up, it's the Atlanta team, but it's called the Trump Ballers. And in the background where they have the signage for sponsorship, so Coca-Cola, let's say, has a Trump Make America Great. You can literally choose your signage in this game. And then on the jerseys, Ben put together this jersey. It's a big picture of Donald Trump with a big gold chain. And that's what all of his Atlanta Trump Baller team looks like, all in vivid graphics that look like you're almost watching real life NBA. Here are some of the tweets, by the way, from the inauguration that I thought were interesting, or at least this is what I thought was interesting from the speech. Number one, I thought Trump did sound presidential. Again, there's a lot of argument to all of these, but I'm not here really to be political. I'm just on the side or to figure out what we can do best with our money. Maybe that's shallow, but this is a money show, for God's sakes. So we're here to navigate the most profitable way to navigate this administration. Today, the people became the rulers of this nation again. Forgotten no longer. Everyone is listening to you now. This is coming from Trump. These are the tweets that I had from the speech. One of them I thought was kind of funny. One heart, one home, one love. Sounded a little bit like a Bob Marley song. Next, and I don't know who wrote this speech for, but when you open your heart to patriotism, there's no room for prejudice. So this is him trying to bring the world back together. When America's united, America's unstoppable. That seems presidential to me. Think big and dream even bigger. We're only living if we're striving. And by the way, he's hammering at this point most of the politicians that were in the audience about saying that they forgot the people of this nation. A new national pride will heal our divisions. We all bleed the same red blood of patriots. Again, I like that. And the last tweet, we will make America wealthy again, safe again, great again. I don't have a problem with that. So here's what we know about Trump, and here's what how this impacts the world that we live in. Number one, Trump is beholden to no one. So he doesn't have the same partisan constraints of any, from what I can tell, any previous president we've ever seen. Yes, his major initiatives are, for the most part, very Republican. Repeal ACA, lower taxes, broader security for our country, and of course, securing the borders and an increase in defense spending. But it's not straight down the party fairway either, though. Some of his positions are actually pretty liberal or right out of a liberal playbook. Healthcare, he still wants to cover all of America, from what I can tell. He's not going to kick off 20 million people that joined Obamacare, maybe in some other form, but cover's not going to go away. He's not all in on free trade. The unions love him. He's already bashed some of the drug companies for price gouging. And who does that sound like? So there's a little blue in Trump's what we would think is a very red political flag. And it's his own color. It's the color of Trump. He'll probably brand it and sell it. Number two, Trump won over the middle class of America. And he did so by slamming big, pretty much everything. Anything that's big that has been difficult to go against, Trump has slammed. So big business, big Wall Street, big government. He battled head on big companies already like GM. He'll tweet against Boeing or Lockheed Martin if he doesn't like their prices. He'll even call out the Central Intelligence Agency, for God's sakes. So this is only the stuff we do once in a while when you and I are really mad. And the stuff that we talk about doing, we sit around the dinner table. And Trump he does this to anyone, anytime, any size. And Americans love that. I mean, in Michigan, maybe the most liberal place I know, Lynn, my wife's entire family's up there. We're up there every summer. Trump got 80% of the union vote, for God's sakes. He's not going to let that group down. All right, there's a lot more to talk about here. We have many more ideas and ideologies that we already know what Trump is going to bring to the table. We're trying to navigate that. So again, special edition, inaugural weekend of Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. It's Falcon Sunday. And it's time it's really inauguration weekend. So we have to understand, what do we know about Trump that's going to impact the money that we've been saving and investing? How will this new regime impact our wallet and our 401k? How many people were worried this week about the new changeover? There's uncertainty, so of course you're worried. The calls that I got this week were, wait, is there something I should do, Wes? Up until before we get to Friday, is there anything I should know? Well, here's what we know. We know that Trump is beholden to no one. We know that Trump won over middle-class America, and he did so by slamming big everything. Number three, Trump is a master communicator. So he has a platform like no other president in the history of the world. In fact, as we talk, I should have done this before, but I'm going to do this in real time because I know what his Twitter numbers were, of course, back when I was thinking this through a couple days ago. And now it looks like he's up to 14 million followers. And he's had this brand new Twitter account just on Friday. Just started on Friday. So he has a platform like no other president or politician in history. 20 million Twitter followers on his own real Donald Trump page, and then another 14 million on his POTUS page. That number will go to another 20 million. So he's going to be able to talk to 30, 40 million people at a time. Imagine if you had a focus group of 20 million people. In my stadium analogy, so 50,000 people per stadium, that's 400 stadiums at any given time you can talk to in an instant. Imagine how that's going to impact the legislative process for him. More about Trump and how it impacts our money right here on Money Matters. Stay tuned, straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. There's just so much money in playoff football. Ryan and I just talking about this. 75,000 seats in the Georgia Dome. Last game of the Georgia Dome. Maybe that's why there's just this tremendous... Well, you've got Falcons going. They win today, they go to the Super Bowl. So you've got tremendous demand. From what I can tell, there's about a $300 spread in the average aftermarket ticket. So you've got 75,000 seats. That's $22.5 million. Plus the $100 broker ticket fee, it's another $7.5 million. You're talking about $30 million kind of up for grabs here for this one day of football, just in ticket spread that these big ticket companies are making, or individuals that have tickets that are selling. So pretty remarkable. And I'm taking to my two older boys today to the Falcons game, which they heard this on the air. I had to prompt them to actually listen to Money Matters this morning on the radio. I said, Luke, you might want to listen in. I'm going to talk about the Falcons game. He said, what station, Dad? What station, Dad? Come on, Luke. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Weather today, isolated thunderstorms. This is brought to you by Shoemate, of course. Isolated thunderstorms this morning, then mainly cloudy with thunderstorms likely. A few storms may be severe. Today, high 67, low 49. So take your ponchos and your rain jackets down to the Georgia Dome today. Or if you're going to tailgate underneath one of those big parking lots where the train comes through. It's like being next to a Russian prison down there as you're paying $400 to go see the game. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're talking about two themes today that are so unbelievably important here on Inauguration Weekend. And we're navigating... What do we know about Trump and how it will impact our money? And then how will this very, very new regime impact our wallets and our 401ks? And then the question of the week, and it's really been the question of the last month or two or last several months, do stocks still make sense? We're hovering around this 20,000 mark. It's very close to an all-time high. Is it really smart to own stocks here? Or should we be looking somewhere else? Do we own bonds or cash or commodities or just park our money in real estate? What do we do at these levels, at these market levels, accompanied by these levels of uncertainty? There's an awful lot to think about. So as we go through this, let's first identify at least what we do know. And we've been talking about this Trump impact. Well, we know that Trump is beholden to no one. That's almost unheard of when it comes to politicians. I don't think that goes away completely, though, and I'm going to talk about that as one of these bullet points. In fact, I'll do it right now. And when it really comes to lobbying, let me go in order here and do a quick recap. One, we know that Trump's not beholden to anyone. Two, what's important about that is that his policies are not down the Republican fairway. Yes, ACA, lower taxes, controlling the borders, more defense spending, that's all very Republican, but then there's a lot that is not so bright red when it comes to what Trump really thinks about. So there's going to be a mix of his own personal feelings on the world that we live in. Now, remember, that's got to get through Congress, and he's got a window here where he has a lot of political or a fair amount of political alignment. We'll see. And again, we'll see if that lasts, and we'll see what happens in midterm elections. So he's going to sprint over the next year or so to get a lot of this done. He won over the middle class. He did so by slamming big everything. That's going to continue to be a theme. And when I say big everything, I mean big companies. He is not afraid to go after GM or Ford or Boeing or Lockheed Martin or the drug companies. So we're going to see plenty of that rhetoric continue because, number three, he's a master communicator. 20 million Twitter followers on his own page. His new POTUS page that just started on Fridays has already 14 million followers. And they listen to what he says. Unlike my Twitter following, which is 20-some thousand folks, where I don't know how many people actually see those tweets. When you tweet out, Twitter wants you to pay. When you're Donald Trump, people will get your tweets. When you're everybody else, it's a little more selective. So my Twitter, by the way, if you are on Twitter, is at WesMoss365. So WesMoss365. And I tweeted through the speech, the inaugural speech on Friday, and actually did get a lot of reaction to that. Some people hated it, some people loved it. But if you're on Twitter in the new world that we live in, and you're looking to go follow Trump, he has now taken over what was Obama's account, at POTUS, President of the United States. Also check out WesMoss365 for continual coverage of the new administration and how it impacts our money. So three, master communicator. Four, disbelief. There is just this still giant sense of disbelief that he'll get anything done. Remember, half the country, or more than half, technically, from a population perspective, still doesn't support Trump. Why do you think Atlanta is so empty this weekend? It's not because of the rain. It's not because it's a holiday weekend. It's because we've got a handful of folks up there celebrating Trump in Washington this weekend. And you've got an equal number in probably, I would say, because we're in, let's say, the city of Atlanta, I would say 2 to 3 times the amount of people that went to celebrate Trump went to protest Trump. Head on down to Midtown Atlanta. Never seen the traffic like this ever in my life. Even Friday afternoon, getting from Sandy Springs, where my office is, back here to WSB land, Midtown, where I live and where WSB is. Friday afternoon, 6:30, usually takes me 50 minutes, 18 minutes on Friday. It took me 18 minutes to get here. No one on the roads. And all weekend, no one on the roads. Where is everyone? They're in Washington. So disbelief. Half the country doesn't support Trump. And that group doesn't. That group also, they don't have a rosy outlook on the world. They're thinking, this is going to be a disaster. So you have this giant percentage of the population that looks at this and says, my goodness, this is not a good thing. And they also don't think that any of his policies will get through. It's this great sense of disbelief. And that means that a huge chunk of investors, think about this from an investment standpoint, still doubt that his policy be effective and anything will actually get through. I think that's a big group of people, half the nation, that's burying their head in the sand, though. Remember that detractors take Trump literally. If you don't like Trump, you take him very literally, but you don't take him seriously. Trump supporters, or if you're even halfway objective, take Trump seriously, but not literally. Those two views are 180 degrees apart. And that's what'll be so interesting from an investment perspective, is to understand that you've got plenty of people that are in disbelief that anything will actually get done. Then you've got the other half of the country that know that something, we're going to get a lot done in I would say quickly over the next year to 2 years. Now, what does it mean for lobbying? And we've talked a lot last year about the lobbying impact over time. We know that if we find companies that have navigated Washington effectively, it has greatly impacted their earnings and the stocks have done very, very well. I still don't think that lobbying impact in Washington is going to go to sleep. Remember that lobbying isn't just about plunking down money and just spending in Washington. It's not just about that. It's about navigating laws and navigating influence. From an individual company perspective, I just don't think that's going to stop. It's going to change. It's going to have to get more sophisticated. But there are going to be plenty of companies that learn a better way to navigate the system and swim with the current of Washington. So companies that are smart about that are still going to do well. It's just going to have to evolve. Here's the other thought, and this is for everyone that's so nervous about Trump. I think this might be the most important of what we know about Trump, or at least what I think I know about Trump. I had a conversation, and here's what it is. Trump is a father. He's also a grandfather. So he's a dad and a granddad. I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week, one of the founders of a big CPA firm, David Dieter, well-respected founder of David Dieter, big CPA accounting firm in Atlanta, multiple branches around the world, smart guy. He said, Wes, what's that guy really like? Again, one of these many phone calls I got this week that was kind of like, is this going to go okay? What do we think is really going to happen? Hey, do you really think this is going to be okay? Kind of conversations that I had over and over this week. I mean, seriously, Wes, off the record. And for the first time, I think I have an answer to this. I don't know if I'm going to be right or wrong on this, but this is just my belief here. And how I would describe him, this is what I said to David. I said, look, he's the half-crazy dad that lives on your street. And I'd say the same thing if you called me right now. He is that guy. He's the half-crazy dad that lives on your street. Maybe he's at the end of the cul-de-sac. He probably has the bigger house in the neighborhood, by the way. And he says anything he wants to say. And you don't agree with him on everything, but you kind of like him. You kind of like him. But what's most important about that description of Trump is that he is a dad. He's a father just like I am. And just like all of you dads out there listening. And just like any of us, he has a sense, at least this is my sense, that he has a great sense of protection. Or a protective nature that is very genuine. He doesn't want to go to war with the world. He doesn't want to cut off all immigration in the United States. He doesn't want millions of Americans to die because they don't have health care. He's got kids. He's got grandkids. Yeah, they're rich. Yeah, they're really rich. But there is a sense when you have kids and small children and grandchildren and of wanting to protect them. And that is a very important human element that he has. He's got kids. He's got grandkids. He has little kids of his own. He has 5 children and he has 8 grandchildren. And a friend of mine once told me to have kids, Wes, you've got to be a real optimist. And as I kept continuing to have children, I've heard that a few times. Gosh, you must be an optimistic guy to keep having so many kids. Otherwise, why would you bring so many new people into the world? Well, Trump is midstream on this deal. He is in mid-child raising years. And quite frankly, it makes sense that he's an optimistic guy about the country and the world that we live in. And if anything that we know about him, and as we get nervous about how volatile he might be, remember that he wants to protect his own kids, just like you and I want to protect ours. And that, to me, is a very important point to understand about this guy that has just become and just inaugurated as our 45th president. So these are the things we know about Trump, and we're going to take that set of data, and we're going to try to understand what that means for markets over the next many years. And we're going to continue to stay on that. We've got to talk about what happens to this market, though. Let's talk about what really moves markets is earnings. And we're going to talk about these market levels, and we're going to talk about what that means for our 401ks. So with that, stay tuned. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Looks like it's about to rain, but it's not quite raining just yet. As far as the weather's concerned, isolated thunderstorms this morning, then mainly cloudy thunderstorms likely. A few of them may be severe. Today, high 67, low 49. So if you go to Falcons, obviously take a poncho, take a rain jacket that you haven't gotten a lot of use from over the last 12 months or so until this weekend, where it's been like rain the entire weekend. And it's exciting to go to the Falcons game and rise up. So we'll see how that goes. This week, I've taken the two older boys today, and we just told them via radio. Supposedly, they're jumping up and down celebrating because I told them via WSB radio, Money Matters here, that we're going down to the Georgia Dome. It's really as soon as we get done this show. It's exciting. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. In the 10 o'clock hour, I want to get to the phones and take your calls. If, of course, you have questions on this Sunday morning, we'll open up the phone lines. They're open up right now. The number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Questions, are you 48 and you wonder what your allocation should be this week as we have a brand new administration in Washington? What does the 401k look like? Number next, you're 58. You're close to retirement now and you're wondering, hey, Wes, I got a bunch of stock mutual funds and a bunch of international stocks or stock funds in my 401k. What should I do for the next 4 years? Maybe today, this month, you found yourself in charge of new money and you're the trustee or an executive or something. And you've got to figure out, do you do an annuity or not, or bonds or bond funds or stocks or stock funds or ETFs? What are the pros and cons of those two, and how do you make that decision? I'll try to give you an unbiased look at to try to help you answer that question. So the number here in the studio as we get into the 10 o'clock hour, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Stay tuned for more Money Matters in the 10 o'clock hour straight ahead.